Good morning and welcome to The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. It's a weekly program about health, nutrition, fitness, and all things lifestyle. I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
And I'm Tim Henney. Today in the program, we explore the preponderance of ACL injuries in young female athletes. And by young, we mean that research shows that girls between the ages of 12 and 16 are at a higher risk of this injury than boys. We're joined by the CEO of Athletic Republic, Charlie Graves, along with local orthopedic specialist, Dr. Phil Davidson, to talk about safeguarding against this common injury.
And then we speak with sports medicine physician and team doctor for the pro cycling team, BMC. It's Dr. Max Testa, who many in the community know as a doctor at the Park City Hospital. But today we'll talk to him about a completely separate endeavor. It's Max Testa Training, which takes place in various venues, but one right here in Park City at Kemble Junction. He'll discuss his scientific approach to making you a better athlete. If you have great aspirations as a cyclist, or even if you just want to be able to beat your radio co-host at a ride, say on the Mid-Mountain Trail.
Or out in the deserts, the west deserts of Utah, on the way to Wendover.
That's right. Uh-huh. It's always fun to beat your radio co-host. This is The Mountain Life. Stay with us. We'll be back after these words from our underwriters.
This is Dr. Phil Davidson of Davidson Orthopedics, proud KPCW sponsor of The Mountain Life. Are you reluctant or worried about having a total knee or shoulder replacement? We offer an array of non-surgical and surgical alternatives. More information on our website at davidsonorthopedics.com.
Programming for KPCW is sponsored in part by Mark Wangsgard and Jim Doilney of Retail at New Park, part of the development team of New Park Town Center and co-owners of the New Park Sun Plaza, location of many Park City community events.
Valley Behavioral Health is a local nonprofit and proud supporter of KPCW. We are your community behavioral health center and provide a broad range of services, including individual, family, couples, and group therapy for mental health and substance abuse. We serve all ages in all of Summit County. Please check out our website at valleycares.com or 649-8347 for more information.
Welcome back to The Mountain Life. I'm Lynn Ware Peak, here with my co-host Tim Henney. Well, growing numbers of sports training and medical professionals are viewing the preponderance of ACL injuries, knee injuries, anterior cruciate ligament injuries in a population that you may not think of among young female athletes ages 12 to 16. Now, this has become a concerning epidemic for those athletes and the parents of those young girls, and among a nationwide organization based here in Park City that's dedicated to sports performance training. That's Athletic Republic. Joining us to talk about these concerns is the CEO of Athletic Republic, Charlie Graves, and also joining us is someone who sees these injuries on nearly a daily basis and will guide us through some ways that these girls can strengthen and safeguard against the injury, Dr. Phil Davidson of Davidson Orthopedics. And good morning to both of you. Thanks for joining us.
Great to be here.
Well, we've talked to Phil Davidson. He underwrites the program here, and thank you for that. We've talked to you a handful of times, but Charlie Graves, we've never spoken to you on this program, so we're going to grill you a little bit about Athletic Republic to begin with. 120 performance training centers across the country, and you're the CEO. So we're based here in Park City?
That's right. So we've been here in Park City for almost 10 years. We put a training center in as a showroom 5 years ago, right across from Basin Rec in that yellow building in New Park. And so it's a high-performance training center for speed, power, agility has been the hallmark of the business for the last 27 years. And, you know, we train young athletes from ages 8 to 18, 28, 58, you know, young at mind, young at heart, young at just trying to be better. So Our business is, last year we trained 70,000 athletes across the country. We're now in South Korea, Japan, and Australia, as well as 120 locations here in the U.S., and this is our headquarters.
Wow. So what makes this company so successful in what you do? You know, it's not very often that you hear about, you know, across the world and 120 centers here in the U.S.
I think everybody wants to get better. I mean, isn't that why we all live here, too? I mean, we enjoy an outdoor lifestyle, whether it's skiing or mountain biking or fly fishing, golfing. We all want to be better at what we do. And it's no different with our kids. You know, our businesses started with young athletes trying to help them improve. So whether it's on the football field, the lacrosse field, the dance studio, or the swimming pool, we're all about trying to help athletes achieve their goals. And we do that through a very organized and systematic approach that's individualized for each athlete. So they train in small groups. We assess them when they first come in. We test their capabilities so we understand their baseline, whether they need power, change of direction, first step quickness, foot speed. You know, especially for young athletes that are growing, they're going through that kind of awkward stages as well. And then we translate that to their sport. So whether it's rotational strength for a baseball player or a tennis player, or if it's a first step quickness for a basketball player, they're trying to get some separation, some linear speed for a football player trying to create gaps in the field or close a gap. Our business is really focused on the things that each athlete needs. For the adult athlete, it's, you know, we just finished a whole campaign the last 9 weeks with adult athletes getting ready for ski season. So here we are ready to ski. They're already in fit. Now we just need good snow for it. But so in that case, we're targeting the muscle groups that are going to be most effective and fatigued under skiing stress and make sure that they aren't going to get hurt. So an extension to all this has been this ACL epidemic. We started seeing several years ago, and then Phil can talk more about it, that we had a lot of young girls getting hurt on the field of play. And the research is telling us that it's a preventable injury. The non-contact ACL, the twist and turn, the getting your cleat stuck in the turf, making a pivot on the basketball court and throwing out your knee, those are preventable injuries if you do stability training. A hallmark or one of our pillars is stability. And so we add strength in the hip girdle and through their hip flexors to make sure that young women are stronger and don't have that non-contact ACL that keeps them off the field.
Charlie, I can't help but wonder if you personally had to deal with the issue, and I'm sure you have, and I'm sure you hear this from time to time from parents and just people in general, the community, about this balance between athletics for fun and sort of making it so serious at such an early age. You know, when I was a kid and I was doing sports, it was all about the fun of the sport, and there were injuries, and, you know, those are the consequences and the undesired consequences of sport. But you're talking about something that's even different. It's taking kids and helping them achieve this higher level. So is that just a tiny fraction of the kids that are out there, you know, that want to become elite athletes? Because it sounds like you're broadening it to you're going deeper in the pool of kids, and you're saying all kids can be better and we can all be better. And of course we can, but there are different ways of achieving that. And you have a very focused way of helping people achieve higher levels of performance. And what's the balance between fun and that achievement?
That's a great question. I guess I would answer with, the better you are, the more fun you have.
I had a feeling you were going to say that, you know. And my high school football coach was all about, it's not about winning the game, it's about how you win the game. But winning makes it more fun. So let's not forget that component.
You know, we get a lot of athletes that their goal is, I want to make the team, or I want to get in the play. I want to get in the starting lineup. You know, for a sixth grader that's starting to think about high school sports, I want to make the JV squad. Maybe undersized, and you know, but I'm a good athlete. How do I make that difference? How do I make that leap? We also have a lot of athletes that are trying to earn a college scholarship. We have a lot of athletes that came through the NFL draft. We trained across the country 60 athletes that made the NFL this year, including the fastest. We had a call that came in from an athlete we trained in high school from the University of Washington. He got beat in the NCAA semifinal championships when Washington played Alabama last year. And, you know, he said, hey, I'm undersized receiver. I want to get faster. and I need to improve. And I'm a forecasted fifth rounder. And, you know, 8 weeks later, he ran a 4.22, fastest combine score ever, and was the eighth pick in the NFL draft. So we train athletes at all levels of ability. It doesn't matter if you're an NFL aspiring receiver or if you're a sixth grader trying to make the lacrosse select program or just get on the team.
So, and I hear that, and I think that makes a lot of sense. I also think that, you know, there's a business model that drives the narrative that this works for everybody, because of course, from a business standpoint, you want everybody doing this, just like all the other programs want their everybody to be doing it. But then there's sort of a self-selection of people who are going to aspire to different goals within that program, and your program is a vessel for everyone.
That's right.
To some degree.
That's right. I mean, one of the reasons why Intermountain carries the program at Tosh down in Murray is, and they've had it now for 20 years, is they believe in the get better method. And, you know, whether it's coming out of an injury to get better, whether it's preventing an injury, wanting to get better, or if it's achieving an athletic goal, they want to get better. And so that get better message that you're resonating is absolutely spot on. And I think that's what brings us back to Dr. Phil and I here. I like that, Dr. Phil.
Dr. Phil. Real Dr. Phil.
Here today is because we want to keep athletes on the field, because to get better, you have to continue to be on the field to play. And for young women in particular, it's a real challenge. Like I said a moment ago, the women, and Lynn had talked about, you know, young girls, 12 to 16 year olds, are six to eight times more likely to have an ACL injury than a boy playing the same sport. That's staggering. And the non-contact ACL, which is, you know, an injury that's caused when you're not getting a hit or falling tragically on the slopes, is preventable if they do the stability training. And it doesn't take a lot. And we'd love to have them come in and we'll show them the exercises. It's available online on our website as well. You can do these at home. It takes 5 minutes a day. If she'll take the time, 5 minutes at lunch, before homework, before practice, and just spend 5 minutes a day doing a few stability exercises that strengthens the muscles that will keep her stable, she's going to have a much better success on the field and be able to get better. If they want more development, please come in and see us at Athletic Republic. Your first workout's free on us. We'd love to get an assessment, tell you how we can help you, see if it's right for you, to your point. It's not right for everybody, but it gives them a chance to see if this is the kind of training they want to do.
So let's go into this ACL injury a bit, and we'll bring Dr. Phil. Do people call you that time to time? Yeah, okay. Into the conversation. And, you know, you mentioned something, Charlie, about hip flexors and talking about strengthening in the hips. And that makes me think about, I mean, common sense would tell you that girls between 12 and 16 are going through some pretty significant hormonal changes. A lot of those are in the hips. And so if you could talk, Phil, a little bit about that. And is this something new that we're seeing? We're just seeing more of it? Does it have to do with the fact that girls are specializing early in sport?
Yeah, so let me answer that question, but also in a little bit bigger perspective. So the facts are well established. As Charlie alluded to, the incidence of ACL injury, particularly in young girls, is much greater than boys and is scary high. We know that. We also know that prevention programs, when they've been implemented, and they have been systematically and carefully implemented in certain communities over the past 20 years, are amazingly effective. And so with these facts at hand, you know, girls having 3 to 4 times more injuries than boys, the efficacy or the effectiveness of these preventative programs, you can decrease by 70% the incidence of injuries. These are facts. It's not speculation. So with this at hand, the question is, number one, why do girls get more ACL injuries than boys? And we'll talk about that in a moment. And then with that in hand, Charlie and Athletic Republic invited me to help with the messaging here. We want to reach out to the community to prevent these injuries, and we'll talk about the implications in a minute. So first, why do girls get more ACL injuries than boys? You talk about hips. It goes to the anatomy. There's multi-factors. Number one, girls between 12 and 16 in particular have not fully developed their coordination, their maturity. Their bodies aren't in sync, meaning that their hips are widening. The angles at their knee, they tend to be a little knock-kneed, which puts stresses on the ACL. Then they're beginning to have hormonal changes. The hormones can be associated with laxative ligaments and put them at risk. Then the shape of their femur, the thigh bone, can be narrower than boys at the end, and this can act as a guillotine against the ACL. Furthermore, there's environmental factors. There's some thought being that maybe girls aren't playing on fields as good as the boys, or the referees aren't as good, or the equipment isn't as good. So it's like so many factors stacked against these girls. And on that basis, when we talk about the stability program that Charlie and Athletic Republic are putting forward, what it is this program designed to both stretch, strengthen, work on plyometrics and agility, and it's not time-consuming. It's a few minutes before practice. It's a few minutes after practice, and the effects are just staggering. And the beneficial effects I talked about a few minutes ago, the fact that ACL injuries in girls are more common, we're also now learning with decades of really strong science, and the authoritative scientific journal, The New York Times, published this 2 weeks ago. They called it the dark secret of orthopedics. And the secret, if you want to call it a secret, that they talked about, the health reporter in The New York Times, is that if you get an ACL tear, regardless of age, you could be 13 years old, you have a 50% chance of having significant arthritis within 10 years. And that's just such a scary statistic. That's so horrifying to think of your young teenager who tears an ACL as arthritis within 10 years. That's life-changing to the negative. So it's on that basis that, you know, throughout the Athletic Republic network of facilities, and Charlie's dedicated, you know, himself and his staff to get this message out. It's not, we don't have hidden information. We're putting out information that's in the public domain. We just want to make it more accessible and have more girls, more teams, more young athletes lead healthy lives.
Dr. Phil, when you ask that, it makes me wonder if the desired outcome, Charlie, and of your messaging is to have this stability and stretching protocol integrated into normal warm-up or cool-down or whatever happens on a field with women, with girl teams as part of the normal calisthenics. Well, you know, I mean, why not have 5 minutes of stability work?
Absolutely. We're not inventing something here. This has been well documented, well proven. The exercises that were recommended are not out of the norm and things that the young women haven't seen before. It's just you have to do it. USA Soccer has done a brilliant job at trying to communicate to their young athletes, their coaching staffs, to add stability training. And you're seeing across the country it widely accepted. Not enough, but still much more widely accepted. US Lacrosse is doing the same thing. We're working with them right now on trying to help market and develop that campaign for US Lacrosse. And it should be part of every coach's pre-warm-up routine. It's, again, not difficult. There are exercises that girls will quickly become familiar with and doesn't require any special equipment.
So I just, I'm imagining listeners right there, they're sitting on the edge of their seat going, what are some of these exercises? Because not only are young girls at risk, we know living in a ski resort town, you know, if you haven't done your ACL yet, you're just counting your days, right? I mean, isn't that kind of how we look at it? And we're thinking, I shouldn't even say that. Let's knock on wood here. But we're all thinking, if only I had known, I could have done these simple strengthening exercises. So give us just a little glimpse into what they are.
Sure. And, you know, there's two parts of it. One is strengthening the muscle groups. Another is adding flexibility and suppleness so that you're more fluid. Before you ski, I mean, how many people do we see just walk up and jump on the chairlift and go ski? I mean, again, getting a warm-up in before that, before practice, all that's critical. Simple lunges are a good place to start with a twist. There's all sorts of permutations off of that you can do. Plyometrics, where you're actually using both feet over, you know, putting a towel down and jumping over it, both forward and back and side to side, single leg and double leg. If you go to the Athletic Republic website, there's a section on stability training, and you can hit the link, and there's 20 or 30 exercises shown to them in video of what they can do in GIF format that they can look at quickly. We recommend you pick 5 a day. Do it 10 times and just pick one. Pick 5. 10 times at 10 repeats, and then you're done. And then move on to the next one.
You know, an example that can be conveyed on the radio, some of this is a difficult visual, is when you're doing a jump, whether it be off a mogul or shooting baskets or whatever, if you land with the knee hyperextended or fully straight, then the ligaments are under strain. On the other hand, if you land in athletic posture with a 10-degree bend on your forefoot, that, quote, athletic stance, you're very much more protected. And that's just an example of a minor conditioning, a minor modification or an intention that can be very protective.
Yeah. So earlier this month, you had a talk where you presented this sort of thing, but you felt it important, of course, to get it out to the rest of the community. I feel like in Park City, as athletic people in general, we're pretty aware of this sort of injury. I had not heard of this preponderance of ACL injury in young girls. Maybe it's because I don't have girls, but have you found that parents aren't really aware of it in their young girls? And you must be sort of opening this door to a lot of awareness.
A great observation. Yes, it's surprising. It's, again, in Phil's world in orthopedics, it's well established and well known. I think part of it is because, you know, parents may have one or two daughters, maybe only one of them is playing sports, and as they cycle through it, they move on. And that legacy of knowledge doesn't get passed on from parent to parent, you know. So it's really upon the coaches to make sure they integrate it. And whether they're fully aware or not, they've got enough on their plates to deal with. And so do parents. I mean, you know, in this town, you think about a parent with a young athlete, they're the athletic director of the household. They're dealing with transportation and meals, competition schedules and practice. If they're playing two or three sports, it gets really crazy. So trying to make sure that they can manage all things. Now, adding another dynamic to the saying, okay, how do I keep my young child healthy, is something new to this athletic director role that they're now starting to process. And we're here to help. I mean, there's, like I said, there's information on the website they can pull down along with a slew of exercises. If they want specific instruction, please come in. Our staff will be happy to show them how to do it. If they want to come in for a workout, again, it's free as well. Come in and give it a try. But, you know, this is, to Phil's point, this is something that's preventable. And if we can keep the girls on the field to play, they're going to have a better experience playing sports than not playing sports. They're going to be, their social lives are going to be much more enriched. And, you know, this is something that we can affect. We can make a change to. And that's why we've rallied our 120 locations and all the athletes that are training with us to say, let's get this, let's try to prevent this the best we can. Let's try to help keep the girls in the game.
And this arthritis thing that Dr. Davidson is talking about it's an incredible statistic. 10 years. Yeah. 10 years down the road, you have a huge chance for developing arthritis if you've had an ACL injury. And you must see that a lot in your practice.
I do, and we've talked about it on this show, joint resurfacing and cartilage restoration. The point is to try and avoid that. While the surgeries can be effective, you know, much better is to maintain a healthy lifestyle throughout and avoid that whole mess, so to speak. So there's treatments available, but the idea is to be smart and stay in front of that.
From your combined perspectives, I'm just wondering if there's something else that is next on the list. I'm asking this because not too long, well, all the time we've talked about concussions, and primarily with, you know, that's kind of focused on boys because of contact sports, but it affects girls as well. And now we're talking about ACL and how that affects girls primarily. Is there something else that's out there that is just waiting to be illuminated and brought to people? And, you know, Dr. Phil, you see it from the work you do, and Charlie, you're, you know, looking at it from a different perspective of how we can prevent. And is there something else that is on the horizon?
From my perspective, focusing on this notion of prevention, I think what we'll see is the Internet of Things and wearables combined to enhance the training, mm-hmm. right? Because you could put sensors on the knee, goes to your iPhone, syncs with your coach, and it's becoming inexpensive. And I think that that's not ubiquitous now. I'm sure it's available in certain modalities or places. But I think we'll see that more and more where, you know, like the same as we're seeing sensors in our home, we're going to see wearable sensors that can facilitate coaching and metrics of analysis and establish some physical parameters, again, to our iPhones that are going to be useful, not just for performance and strengthening, but for prevention.
Wow. So wait, you have to clarify that a little bit more for me. So there might be a wearable sensor that I could put on my knee, and it could tell me, for example, if I'm stressing it in the wrong direction or if it's weak when I'm doing a certain action?
Correct. Because right now, the sensor technologies and wearables are becoming smaller, more efficient, and less expensive. So I can envision, I don't know of a commercial product, but having seen other applications and use in rehabilitation and surgery, whereby you could put a sensor on the knee to determine if you're moving towards hyperextension, for example. And if you're moving towards hyperextension, you could get a real-time feedback, your phone buzzes. Or alternatively, you know, you can monitor angles and torques.
Yeah.
This technology is becoming widely available between Wi-Fi and the infrared and Bluetooth. And I think that that's going to further enhance. Tim asked about the future. I think that relevant today's conversation, how do we coach people even better than giving them a set of exercises to strengthen? We can, in real time, probably give feedback or collect data to help them too.
It's the extension or the evolution of the heart rate monitor,
yeah,
which we've had forever, but, you know, it goes much further and deeper.
Yeah, I think building on what Phil said, I think what you're seeing is individualization. Mass customization, mass personalization. We're seeing it, you know, there are a lot of data collection activities, whether it's your Fitbit, your Garmin, your Strava account. There's so many pieces of information that we're gathering. We're preparing to introduce a pilot where we're going to do athlete DNA. So we're going to get the ultimate wearable. We'll be able to map your DNA against your athleticism. So how much recovery do you need? How much sleep do you need? What are your nutritional requirements? How do you metabolize fat, sugars, and proteins? So I think, to me, that the next wave of fitness and is that mass personalization. How do I take the information that is out there about me and make it resonate on how I get better? How do I interpret all that data, whether it's the knee sensor, your DNA, your Fitbit? How do I use it so that it actually affects me positively?
I'm just kind of laughing to myself thinking about your iPhone. You know how it's always buzzing now? You get a text message, email notification, news notification, and then, you know, suddenly it's like, wait, don't move your knee like that. That'll be funny, but helpful. Yes, indeed. So before we let you go, Charlie, why don't you just run through again? So if there's a parent of a young girl sitting at home listening right now, what's offered by Athletic Republic at this point?
If there's a parent sitting home with a young girl, number one, you want to ask their coach and she's playing a sport, if they're doing any stability work already. And if they aren't, you know, offer to have them talk to us. We'd be happy to help any coach in town. We'd be happy to come out and talk to any team in town and help them develop a program that they can incorporate, as Tim said, into practice. They can go to the athleticrepublic.com website. On the homepage, there's a marker they can hit. You know, click them to a stability training page that shows them exercises that they can select from. We'd recommend, like I said, pick 5 a day. Do them 10 times, and you know, in less than 15 minutes, they're gonna make a great impact in their ability to stay healthy. Third, if they're interested in more advanced training, please come in and see us, either down at Tosh at Murray, or here in Park City. We'd love to have them come in and take a free trial, and we'll show them how we can help them improve their athletic skills and performance.
And again, your shop is right across from Basin Recreation, the Field House.
That's right, on the first floor of that yellow building at 1389 Center Drive.
Just about 30 seconds left, Dr. Davidson. I wanted to ask you about cross training. And is, you know, we talk about all this increasing stability and strengthening. Is there a specific sport that girls can do in the off season that's going to help that? Just a sport they might like to do, like riding their bike?
Yeah, I think that in terms of cross-training, the focus should be on something called proprioception. Proprioception and goes hand in, that's the joint's sense of position. And so to train the joint's sense of position, we're doing things like plyometrics. We're doing things like balance training. And so this is a coordinated activity. So just riding your bike when you strap your feet in and go, doesn't achieve either proprioception or balance training. So I think that the off-season training or the cross-training needs to incorporate not just strengthening and stretching, but proprioception, plyometrics, so some explosion, some balance, and some agility. And that would be protective.
Excellent. Dr. Phil Davidson of Davidson Orthopedics and Charlie Graves, CEO of Athletic Republic. A very interesting conversation. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Lynn.
Thanks for being here.
Tim. And we'll be back after these words. Stay with us. It's The Mountain Life.
This is Nanette Bush with Fairway Independent Mortgage, supporter and longtime listener of KPCW. Fairway Independent Mortgage offers personal home, vacation home, and investment property lending. Our mortgage team partners with local realtors to provide our clients with resources to understand the home finance process, located at 1700 Park Avenue or at nanettebush.com.
Support for KPCW programming and American Roots is proudly sponsored in part by Donna Van Buren of the Van Buren Management Group and founder of Greater Park City Properties, managing HOAs since 1985. Information for Van Buren Management at 649-0652 or vanburenmgt.com.
Welcome back to The Mountain Life, healthy living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware Peak. Here with Tim Henney, conversation with Dr. Phil Davidson along with Charlie Graves about ACLs in young girls. That was a good conversation. Now we move to, well, some more training talk. Max Testa, Dr. Max Testa, is a sports medicine physician. He's the team doctor for the pro cycling team BMC. He goes to the Tour de France every year and other big races to oversee the performance health of the cyclists. He's also a doctor at the Park City Hospital, and he joins us today to talk about something for the cyclist who may just want to get in a little better shape or one who has great aspirations for becoming a highly competitive cyclist. Dr. Testa's program, Max Testa Training, is based right here in Park City at Kemble Junction. He takes the knowledge and wisdom that he's gained over more than three decades in the cycling world from all over the world, and he brings it right here. Dr. Max Testa, welcome to The Mountain Life.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we brought you here today to talk about Max Testa training. Well, let's go way back. I was going to say you're the team doctor for Team BMC, but let's go way back to a little bit of history. Some people say that they credit you with sort of bringing competitive cycling to the U.S. Is that an exaggeration?
There's a big exaggeration. I think that I was just lucky to be in the right place at the right time. And that gave me the opportunity to meet U.S. cycling that was already going strong when I joined them. That was 1985 at the Tour of Italy in Verona. And I remember it very well because it was my first time doing a big tour with the professional cycling team. And that was the first American team to race in Europe in a three-week stage race.
Max, who were the members of that team, just to help people if they can't kind of put it in the framework of 1985? I think of 1985, I was riding my bike around Central Park before I went to work in the morning. So that's how I use the landmark of mine. But who were the people that all of us might recognize that were members of that team?
Yes, I will start with one of my longtime friends and currently colleague as a sport doctor, Dr. Eric Hayden, living in Park City too. He was a rider at that time, and he already had a big name because he was coming from winning all those medals in speed skating in the 80s. Then there was a guy that now is popular because he's presenting some of the big races on television, including the Tour de France, Bob Roll.
Yes, Bob.
Bob King.
And he's a Park City lover. Matter of fact, he comes here quite regularly.
Oh, does he?
To visit.
Now that we know that, we'll have to have him on the show. So anyway, Bob Roll. But
yeah,
okay.
And then Andy Hampstead from Boulder, Colorado, eventually became the first and still today the only ever American to win the Tour of Italy. He won Tour of Italy in 1988. Mm-hmm. Then there was Chris Carmichael that became famous as a coach of Lance Armstrong. Mm-hmm. We had Ron Kiefel from also Boulder, Colorado, and now he's a successful businessman. Davis Finney, they had an incredible career. I think he's still today the American rider with the most wins. He was a sprinter. He won three stages of the Tour de France. And right now, he's started a great program with the Davis Finney Parkinson Foundation, mm-hmm. and he's doing a lot of good things for Parkinson patients. Then there was people that became famous in a different way. One was Tom Schuler, that didn't have a long career as a cyclist, but became a successful manager with the Volvo and the Saturn bike teams in the United States. Then there was a guy that dropped off cycling, although was very talented, was Jeff Bradley, and he started doing something different in his life. But those are the nine starter. Oh, I was sorry, I was forgetting one of the more, I would say, most representative of his era. That was Jonathan Boyer. That was actually the very first American to race in the Tour de France, racing for a French team, before joining 7-Eleven.
And that was Team 7-Eleven. That's,
and we were Team 7-Eleven. Yeah.
Most all of those names are household names even today, I would say, if you are interested in the sport of competitive cycling, or even if you're just a cycling enthusiast. So, wow, what a time to be involved in the sport. And I don't know how I'm going to make a segue into what you're doing now here in Park City, but maybe you could just take us through sort of your experience as a team doctor currently for Team BMC, and then, you know, how you bring that home to Park City to help those of us who... We'd really like to be pro cyclists, but you know, we have other things to do.
Exactly. We could be pro cyclists, but just we have no time.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so the BMC Racing Team is a program that started in 2008, and the goal was to create a program to develop young, talented American and Swiss bike rider. The sponsor behind the team, Mr. Andy Reese, was a really lover of cycling and has been supporting the team since 2008. He joined forces with the original general manager of 7-Eleven, Jim Aquis, who also lives in Park City, just moved here last year. So we got now with me three 7-Eleven cycling team members that lives in Park City. And so the program started as a continental program, so young guys below age 25. And then in 2010, we had the opportunity to sign Cadel Evans, that was already a famous bike rider, world champion in mountain bike. And eventually with him, we won the Tour de France in 2011. And then since then, the team started to grow, and also our responsibility. Myself and Dr. Hayden both work for the team. Eric is the orthopedic doctor, and he covers some of the races. And I'm responsible of the medical department, and I also help with the coaching of some of the riders. So we are busy. It's running 25 to 30 riders through a program that goes basically from December till November, because there is almost no time off anymore in professional cycling. It's a demanding business.
And what kind of toll does that take on those riders, Max? I mean, I know through the years, you know, back in the 7-Eleven days, it was a completely different program that you were putting them through. How does that compare to what the riders do today? And that lack of downtime, that must play a significant role in the program that you develop for them.
Yeah, no, it's exactly the case. The beginning, when I started, we had plenty of time to periodize the program in a way that... we were able also to provide riders with good times to recover, to come back from injury or from illnesses. Now that is more challenging. So one way to do it is to have a longer roster. So we can periodize the program, but also the riders. So we're lucky enough. We have a good program within BMC. And so we can rotate the riders. And in one way, we can offset the, highly increased demand of the sport and the calendar.
And is the goal the same as it always has been? And what is that goal? Is it to put your people on the podium at Tour de France, or is it a much bigger goal to have success at all the big name events? Because we all think, I think, here in terms of Tour de France, and for good reason. It's kind of presented that way.
No, I agree. Tour de France is definitely the number one goal, I would say, for all the pro teams. U.S. team particularly, because it's one of the few events that have a lot of time, television time. And so people in the United States tend to know pretty well the Tour de France. They visit the Tour de France. I see a lot of U.S. Cyclists riding the roads of the Tour de France in July. But the U.S. Public doesn't follow much the other races. In Europe, cycling is a second sport after soccer. And so he's on television all the time. And so you see races starting in February till the World Championship and sometime past the World Championship in September. It's definitely different to be a top pro cyclist in Europe. Everybody recognizes you. It's like United States to be an NBA player or to be a football player. And so the recognition is different. And the salary for the riders are definitely better than 30 years ago. Most of the top riders make salaries that are compatible to the ones of popular sport in the United States. But that is a pyramid with a very narrow top. Yeah. So at the bottom, is still you have to fight, especially if you are a U.S. Talent, to fight the program that will support you and allow you to dedicate full time to training.
So you may have established your credibility here already in our last 10 minutes of the conversation. So let's bring it home to Park City and with the Max Testa training program that you have established here, and you have a little cadre of trainers so that when you're out of town, they can take over. But take us through this program that people might see. You have a storefront in Kimball Junction. If you see people riding their bikes but going nowhere, that they could be part of the Max Testa training program.
Yeah, exactly. So the concept of the buying Max Testa training come from my experience as a doctor and also as a coach for over 30 years. I was always surprised that the everyday athlete, I am particularly interested in endurance sport, tend to get secondhand science. So is the science dictated by marketing, which is good to a point because they support us as a pro team, but not necessarily is the best information for that individual. Normally, is an information that comes from a group study. And with pro athlete, we do differently. We measure each individual, and we design a program specific for that individual. And the way we do that requires steps that are not necessarily the step that my friends go through when they start a training program. So I thought, why to keep a science that we apply to the best athlete away from the everyday riders? So that was the idea. Try to get the best science, evidence-based science, and bring that information to the individual with a clearly application to a different age group than the professional cyclist. So that was the idea. And then when I moved to Park City, coming from California, I was a little concerned about the weather, the possibility to ride the bike in the winter month. And I had the fortune to meet some good partner in crime, one Marlene Hatch, physical therapy at the hospital in Park City. And she was and she's a top athlete. She likes to ride her bike and she does triathlon. And so together we put live the idea to bring an indoor program to Park City mm-hmm. for athletes that are committed to stay at the best fitness possible. That's the beginning.
So let's talk about the difference between what you're doing and say, for example, a spinning class. And it's going to start with that individualized, you're establishing, is it VO2 max and lactate threshold? I don't know. What are they establishing?
So we use a lactate test. Lactate test is a practical test, really minimally invasive. We poke people on the earlobe. They don't even feel it. And through an incremental test, we profile the athletes, and we got the spectrum of power ranges that are individual to that subject. So you go on with the training zone spectrum that is different than what you normally get based on your age, on a percentage of your maximum heart rate, all these other things. This is based on your metabolic response to exercise. So how your body responds to the challenge of exercise. And that already set a big difference because you work in zones that have a specific impact on your body and your adaptation to training. So that is the number one thing. The other difference is that during the classes, you don't just do a workout. So the classes are a sequence of workouts that are following a certain logic to progress you through different phases. Some weeks are a little harder than others. So we periodize so that we can keep developing all your qualities, muscle strength on a bike, muscle endurance, aerobic capacity, all the qualities that make you enjoying riding a bike, not necessarily to be a winner if you're not a racer, using a planification that is the same we use with a pro athlete. And so these are two different things. I mean, I enjoy a spinning class. It's a good workout, but maybe you go the second time. The second class is not linked to the first class. What our concept is to follow a progression in the challenge of the workout, so you gradually adapt to harder loads. And that is the idea.
So the obvious question for me, Max, is who's the audience for this? And I ask that because I think a lot of us have gone through periods of our life where we were very focused and very intense, and we were competing, whether it was recreationally or at some other level, and I'm no longer doing that. So for me, at this phase of life, Orange Theory is appealing, and spin class is appealing. But I hear, when I hear you describe yours, little things are sparking in my mind, and I'm thinking back to when I was doing that. So are you tailoring this to people who have fairly high aspirations, or is it for the general public who wants something different and maybe a little more scientific than the spin class?
Oh, this is a great question. We definitely target all level of athletes. So this is the beauty of the human body, that independently of your age and your starting level of fitness, you can improve. And actually, the rate of improvement is very similar at different ages. There are studies that show the 8-year-old can respond to training in terms of percentage as the same way of people in their 20s and their 30s. So this is, the spectrum we target is pretty much everybody that is serious about staying in shape and want to optimize training time using the best science to do that. If you take our classes, you don't have to give up your spinning classes, or you don't have to give up Orange Theories. I mean, I'm a sport medicine doctor, so I'm always happy when people move. Doesn't matter the way you do it. Some of the elements, in our class are not that different, because the environment is the same. We have instructors that motivate you. You are in a group setting, so you have a social component, the same you would have in a spinning class, or just that we tend to measure the training in a different way and dose the intensity of the load, I would say, more precisely.
I heard you say those who are serious. So I think that's the point that I'm looking for. How serious do you need to be, or would you like people to be? And I know it can apply to everybody, and we can all be athletes, but there are those who are athletes and those who are serious athletes. And
yeah.
So where does your program
come from? So serious means that they commit to come to the classes at least 2 or 3 times a week through a period of 6 weeks. That is a single block. And that is the unit in which we try to achieve some improvements. In Park City, we offer 3, sometimes 4 blocks of 6 weeks. So we can take people from early November into May following a progression of the training. But, the people that commit, ideally, they should try to stick to their classes and follow the whole program to get the most benefit. We still have a drop-in program for people that travel. Up here, a lot of clients of ours that have a job that takes them away from Park City. And so we offer a drop-in program, and sometimes they try to catch up classes that they miss. The program has more sense when you can give a continuity to your workouts. Yeah, so our pool of bikers include people between age 35, 40, up till mid-70s or someone even older. And they're all in common. They have the love for biking. They want to stay in shape. Some time to enjoy trips and visiting nice part of Europe or the United States. Another unique component of our program is the fact that you can have shoulder-to-shoulder rider at a completely different level of fitness. Since everybody works at his or her individual zones, we have riders that compete and win races on national level, riding next to a recreational athlete that rides only on the weekend. And so they all sweat more or less at the same rate because they're working at their own individual zones.
Yeah. If you want to just get an exposure to this, which is what I kind of did, you can drop in for a free class.
For
just
a class,
to see
free
what it's
class,
like.
Yes, for all month of December. During the weekend particularly, we have drop-in classes. Mm-hmm. And so people that want to have a sense about how it feels working, following a specific program for that hour, that 90 minutes, we offer drop-in classes for free. People should bring their own bikes come ready to work out on their bikes, so shoes and shorts. And we'll have someone there helping them at the beginning without taking the lactate test, just give an idea about how to use the power ranges. Mm-hmm. And so there's a little friendlier approach, so people that don't know what to expect, they can come and enjoy an hour or 90 minutes workout in, surrounded by other people. And that is going to happen in December. If they want to participate, they should let us know in advance so we can get to prepare. And the best way is to contact by email my wife, Julie, that's coordinating the classes, at info@maxtestatraining.com.
Okay, great. So right now you're in the middle of a session that began in early November. So you wouldn't be able to join now, but if you're interested for beginning in January, come and check it out now, and you can get all of your testing and things like that before you start. Does the next one start early January?
Start early January, yes.
Yeah, okay. And now the idea is that you're training through the winter so that you can hit the road, and you end these training sessions in May, I think.
Normally
it is,
May, depending on the weather. Could be end of April. Sometimes we go into May when it's still rainy and people want to keep staying in shape, and so we go into May.
Okay, good. Now, there's this other email that I get from time to time that shows these wonderful photos of Italy and these trips that you've begun to do with Max Testa training. So talk a little bit about that. Is that the culmination? If you've gotten an A in the class, you can go on one of your trips?
No, we actually we make it easy. We had the opportunities to meet people that like to travel using the bike as an excuse to visit places, and in Parsiti, a lot of our friends like to go to Europe or to go in warmer places of the country for training. So we started 3 years ago to put together some camp on the road. So we take people to places, and this year we had the first overseas camp. We went to the Elba Island in Tuscany, and we spent a week riding beautiful roads and enjoying great food. This is an idea that I had for a long time, working and traveling with teams. I travel 100 days a year, more or less, in Europe with the team and following bike races. So you see beautiful part of the country mm-hmm. that only you see riding a bike. And I always thought that, you know, would have been very nice to expose other people to those roads. So after 2 years, I have a lot of itinerary, a lot of ideas in mind. To take people from here over there to enjoy cycling in a different country.
No, that's my kind of block. Mm-hmm. I think I could do that.
Yeah, that would be your training block. Yeah, I like that.
And that was Dr. Max Testa. And we thank him for joining us on The Mountain Life. And again, it's maxtestatraining.com. And we'll be back after these words.
Hi, I'm Whitney Wall from Park City Mountain and proud supporter of KPCW. Park City Mountain hosts winter events throughout the season, including Snowfest, the annual Torchlight Parade, New Year's Eve celebration, Spring Groove, and more. More information about all the events happening at Park City Mountain this winter can be found at parkcitymountain.com.
Additional funding for programming on KPCW has been provided in part by AMA Waterways and Park City Air Cruise and Travel, 565-4730, parkcityaircruiseandtravel.com, Long Reimer Weiniger Bepler, Estate Planning, Family Law, lrw-law.com, Fred Marshall Painting, painting Park City's home since 1974, fredmarshallpainting.com, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and listeners like you.
You've been listening to KPCW Park City.
And we want to thank our underwriters, Valley Behavioral Health, Jim Doinley and Mark Wainsgard with Retail at New Park, Utah Olympic Legacy Foundation, Davidson Orthopedics, Fairway Independent Mortgage, Park City Mountain, Berkshire Hathaway Home Services Utah Properties, and San